I'm Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is January 24th, 2015. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's show is taken from the website of christianexodus.org. It begins. We took the Christian Exodus website offline for a few months as an experiment. Keith, is there any possibility that you might consider conducting another experiment, perhaps for a much longer time? He wrote, when Christian Exodus began in 2004, it was simply a social networking thing that went viral before things like Facebook and YouTube existed. Keith, so what you're saying is that you were a victim of natural selection. Praise Darwin. Keith wrote, the whole idea of people of like mind coming together via online communication and alternative media and organizing for planned migration, community living, and political change was something rather new at the time. Many people have contacted us over the years, agreeing with the vision, but most of them unable to follow through due to things like mortgage debt and other entanglements. Keith, that damn reality always keeps getting in the way of God's work, doesn't it? Boy, for an all-powerful, invisible ghost, he sure doesn't seem all that powerful. Keith continues, what happened on the ground was very chaotic. Many people were moving to South Carolina and acclimating themselves to the living situation there. But the personality type that was strong-willed and independent enough to move was also the same type which does not play well with others. Keith, that is true of all ghost worshippers, no matter where on earth you go. Toleration and religious freaks go together about as well as playful puppies and Michael Vick. He wrote, the closer people were living together, the more they were realizing that they really didn't want to live together. Keith, I don't blame them. I wouldn't want to live that close to a bunch of ghost worshippers either. To make it work, you've got to have at least some rational people around, if for nothing else than to keep the peace. He wrote, theological disputes, personality conflicts, and other difficulties led to various confrontations and disagreements. Gee, Keith, what a surprise. Who would have ever guessed? He said, while people unfamiliar with the situation were calling us a cult, those who were actually involved in the movement were so adverse to authority that there was no real cohesiveness. Keith, so you finally found a flock of sheep who didn't like being treated like sheep. Interesting. He said many were also privacy freaks and simply didn't want to be contacted by anyone. Keith, now I see what you're talking about. They weren't into letting you watch. Any decent cult leader would have straightened them out in a hurry, possibly with some poison cider or something. You haven't had that much experience with this cult leader stuff, have you? As their leader, you're not only entitled to watch whenever you want, but you are also entitled to participate whenever and with whomever you want. I know, because I saw it in the cult leader's handbook. Keith wrote, the original vision had some degree of success, as there were people moving to the area, getting involved in local politics, and working to interpose and nullify government oppression. Keith, government oppression is code for taxes, isn't it? You people always want all the benefits of society, but without having to pay for it. Keith continues, a good example of precisely the sort of thing that was originally envisioned was enacted with some members who got involved to support a campaign to nullify federal Real ID, which mandated various biometric enhancements to state driver licenses. Good work, Keith. Next, they'll insist on chip implants. But before you start feeling too secure, you should check out this website for people who are targeted individuals. And in the Word document associated with this podcast, I provided Keith a link to the website Freedom from Covert Harassment. Watch your back, Keith. He said when this was successfully nullified by South Carolina, other states followed suit, and the federal government backed off the plan. We found that there were deeper issues with our average membership, however. There was a sort of catch-22, where many of those who were willing to leave behind their home and employment and extended family and friends to move to a new place were the sort of people who didn't have a home or a job, or had already exhausted their social credit with family and friends. Keith, when you don't have a home or a job or friends, how hard is it to leave things behind that you don't have? Keith, sorry to point this out, but you don't sound particularly bright. He wrote, those who are more responsible and the sort of people who would be more agreeable to live with usually already had a good thing going with a nice home, local sources of income, and commitments to extended family and friends, and so were not inclined to move. So we changed direction and sought to organize a network of independent Christian communities. Keith, it doesn't sound like you are very big on democratic American principles. That's no surprise, really, considering that the Bible is the last place you will ever encounter the concept of democracy. He wrote, regardless of whether they were in the South Carolina upcountry or not, we also try to emphasize principles of independent living, such as self-employment and living without debt. Keith, living without debt is about as anti-American as you can get. That means you are against home mortgages, student loans, small business loans, and many other things that American capitalism is based on. He wrote, that would better prepare people to be able to move when the time came. Keith, did you ever stop to consider that maybe South Carolina, or any place in America really, is not the best place to start your Christian utopia? Keith, take my advice on this one. Start smoking cigars and move to Cuba. It's the perfect place for you. Keith wrote, over the years, the world also changed, such that online virtual communities of like-minded people became a common thing. Keith, another big change that has been occurring and is gaining speed is the collapse of Christianity, especially among the youth. And it's even worse if you leave the United States. If I were you, I would really get cracking on that Christian city while there are still Christians. Keith said, this is a world disconnected from reality, however. Keith, you worship invisible ghosts with magical powers. Your science book is filled with unicorns, talking snakes, and fire-breathing dragons with multiple heads. It isn't so much that the world is disconnected from reality as it is that you are. He wrote, as these social networks do not necessarily translate into actual boots-on-the-ground living and working-together communities of like-minded people. Keith, you just got through telling us how you already tried to establish one of those, before learning that not everyone was willing to submit to the rules in your little world. So you've just demonstrated one of the greatest failures of religion, its demand that everyone conform to its rules on how to eat, drink, think, love, hate, dress, work, and even what to believe. He wrote, as a test, the website was taken down for a while to see what remained without it. Well, Keith, most of the world never even knew you were gone. As I said earlier, maybe you should consider a much longer experiment. Keith wrote, people continue to communicate with each other, live and work together, and random people even contacted us, asking to join. How they got the contact information with no website, I don't know. Come on, Keith, show some faith. Give Jesus the credit. If you ask one of them, they might even confess that your website address simply appeared briefly in their Cheerios. And he concludes by saying, so we will be putting up something new soon. Keith, you are such a tease. The whole world is anxiously waiting. I know I am. And now we move to the science segment. Today, solar energy that doesn't block the view. Researchers have developed a new type of solar concentrator that, when placed over a window, creates solar energy while allowing people to actually see through the window. It is called a transparent luminescent solar concentrator and can be used on buildings, cell phones, and any other device that has a clear surface. The solar harvesting system uses small organic molecules to absorb specific non-visible wavelengths of sunlight. These materials can be tuned to pick up just the ultraviolet and the near-infrared wavelengths that then glow at another wavelength in the infrared. The glowing infrared light is guided to the edge of the plastic where it is converted to electricity by thin strips of photovoltaic solar cells. Because the materials do not absorb or emit light in the visible spectrum, they look exceptionally transparent to the human eye. One of the benefits of this new development is its flexibility. While the technology is at an early stage, it has the potential to be scaled to commercial or industrial applications at an affordable cost. It can be used on tall buildings with lots of windows or any kind of mobile device that demands high aesthetic quality, like a phone or e-reader. Currently, it is only able to produce a solar conversion efficiency close to 1%, while the best colored luminescent solar concentrator has an efficiency of around 7%. And now we move to the final segment of the show, Famous Quotes. Today, Noam Chomsky. Born 1928, he is 86 years old. Chomsky is an American linguist, philosopher, cognitive scientist, logician, political commentator, and activist. Sometimes described as the father of modern linguistics, Chomsky is also a major figure in analytic philosophy. He has spent most of his career at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, where he is currently Professor Emeritus, and has authored over 100 books. He has been described as a prominent cultural figure, and in a 2005 poll, was voted the world's top public intellectual. Chomsky is credited as the creator or co-creator of the Chomsky hierarchy, the universal grammar theory, and the Chomsky Schutzenberger Theorem. In 1967, he gained public attention for his vocal opposition to U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War, in part through his essay, The Responsibility of Intellectuals, and came to be associated with the New Left while being arrested on multiple occasions for his anti-war activism. His work has influenced fields such as artificial intelligence, cognitive science, computer science, logic, mathematics, music theory and analysis, political science, programming language theory, and psychology. Chomsky continues to be well known as a political activist and a leading critic of U.S. foreign policy, state capitalism, and the mainstream news media. Ideologically, he aligns himself with anarcho-syndicalism and libertarian socialism. Here is the quote from Noam Chomsky. Jingoism, racism, fear, religious fundamentalism. These are the ways of appealing to people if you're trying to organize a mass base of support for policies that are really intended to crush them.
Are you ready, Bruce? Start walking.